$8,000. In 1959, Delrada, being a mission-minded congregation, began to support the church in Montevallo as well as the work at Child Haven. Support for the Herald of Truth program was also continued, as well as a church in Rhode Island. Another major effort of mission work was in the St. Vincent. By 1983, Delrada was supporting work in Davenport, Iowa, Wewahatchka, Florida, the Madison Park Church, and in the country of New Zealand. In 1985, Delrada began supporting of two full-time missionaries, Glenn Siebler in Roanoke, Virginia, and Miles Chapman in Crookston, Minnesota. Delrada's original building was enlarged at least twice over the years as the congregation grew. In 1989, the congregation had outgrown that facility, and there were 448 present at morning worship on the first Sunday of that year, and plans began to be made for a new building. The first service in this building that we presently meet in was held on second Sunday of March, 1991. 1992 saw Delrada sending a group to Russia to survey a possible mission work there. A second truck in October of that year went to Inta and brought about a congregation of the Lord's people with 77 new converts. Delrada continues to do mission work in Russia, China, Indonesia, the Caribbean, Central America, and the state of Georgia. Just as those people were admonished in the Old Testament times to live by faith, Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily ensnare us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God on high. Let us continue to look to these people and continue to live by faith. Thank you.
Let me start by saying to each person that is a part of this Delrada congregation that we love you. We care about what's going on in your life. We hurt when you hurt, and we rejoice when you rejoice. But above all else, we care about your soul, and we want each of you to go to heaven. It is our great honor and privilege to serve this congregation as those that care for your soul. You have placed your confidence and trust in us to lead this congregation in the way that God would have us to go. Serving as elders of this congregation is a tremendous responsibility. It's a tremendous blessing as well, and we are humbled to be able to serve you in this capacity. We ask you to pray for us as we do our best to lead this congregation. We're not perfect men, and we make mistakes, but we always have the congregation's best interests at heart, but most of all, we have what we believe God's word says at heart. Please pray for our families as they continue to support us in the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. And most of all, please pray for God's blessings on this congregation as we move forward into a new year. I'd like to share a passage of scripture with you and draw your attention to a couple of points. In John 10:22-29, it says, at the time of the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. These words of Jesus should give us great encouragement. If we follow him, he gives us eternal life. Jesus knows each and every one of us, and his hand is there to protect us. He knows when we are walking in the light, as 1 John 1 and verse 7 tells us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4 tell us how we come in contact with that cleansing blood of Jesus. It reads, "Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Let's read again John 10 and verse 29. It says, "My Father has given them to me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What does this mean to be in God's hand? Well, simply put, it means everything. It means that whatever happens in life or death, sickness or health, God's hand will sustain us. You know, it's easy for us to get caught up in the grind of our daily lives. We can get so caught up in the things that we have to do each day that we fail to stop and see God's hand all around us. We fail to see how much God is blessing us in our lives. Our Dalrata family was blessed so much in this past year. We have newlyweds in the congregation. We have couples that have celebrated 40, 50, 60 plus years of marriage. We have new babies being born, and new little ones are on the way. We've said goodbye to some special friends that we hold dear, and we welcome new brothers and sisters to our congregation here. Surely we can see God's hand in all of these things. We've also had families that have endured tremendous heartache and burden during this past year. There are many who are still struggling with things that have come up, but they can also see God's mighty hand in these struggles. It is not always easy to see God's hand when the struggle is at its worst, but rest assured, he is there. I can't help but be reminded of two special families when I think of seeing God's hand in a difficult situation. The first is the Cannon family. Stephen and Kara, Will, Zig, and their amazing little fighter, Webb. Stephen and Kara, along with their family, have been on a physical and emotional roller coaster for almost one full year. We all have hurt with them, rejoiced with them, prayed with them, and we continue to do that. It is hard for us to wrap our minds around what Stephen and Kara continue to go through on a day-to-day basis. But they will tell you that God has used this special little boy to affect so many people in a positive way, and we praise God for what he continues to do today. The second is the Dean family. Greg and Tiffany and Jackson and their new baby girl that is due in March. Greg's battle with a rare form of cancer, his diagnosis, surgery, treatment, and recovery has been nothing less than amazing. After Greg's initial diagnosis, prayers from so many were lifted up to God on his behalf. Prayers for Greg full and complete recovery have been raised up to God, and God is answering those prayers. The road is still long, but all feel a complete healing will happen. We have seen amazing strength from Stephen and Kara and Greg and Tiffany in both of these situations. If you ask them, I'm sure they will immediately tell you what sustains them from day to day. It's God's hand of healing and comfort and the countless prayers that have been raised up for them. Tiffany said that 2012 was a stop and smell the roses kind of year, and God threw a big bouquet in her face. We don't have to look hard to see God's hand in our everyday lives. All we have to do is slow down long enough, and we will see his hand in so many things around us on a daily basis. We need to stop and smell the roses and count our blessings. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we are humbled as we approach your throne, realizing how great and awesome you truly are. Dear Father, we pray for your forgiveness when we fail to recognize your hand working in our daily lives, when we fail to give you thanks and praise for the wonderful things that you do on a daily basis that sustains our lives. Dear God, I pray that we will all slow down in our daily activity and give to you first of our time and our talent. I pray we will rededicate ourselves to you in this new year, and that you will use us to touch someone's life in a special way. I pray, God, that you will create in each one of us a pure heart, and we will in turn live a pure life that is holy in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray.
I've decided to use my time this morning to say thank you to some people. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to my fellow elders. It's an honor to have served with this eldership for over 10 years now. We have a wonderful relationship, and it is a privilege to work in a group where everyone has their say and no one has their way. I can promise you that all these men have a tremendous love for each of you and a burning desire to see the work of the church thrive here at Del Rey. I can also promise you that when people pray for this eldership from this pulpit, even if it may seem repetitious to you, it does not to us. I also want to publicly thank our wives for the support you give us, for putting up with us with the frequent changes in schedules, waiting on us to go home, or just being there to talk and encourage us. Thank you to our staff. You don't have to talk to many other people from other churches to know how fortunate we are to have this staff. From our ministers to the administrative staff, our interns, our maintenance staff, we're truly blessed. It's a joy to see the chemistry between each of these as they work together for the good of this church. Thanks to our deacons and the work you do in the various ministries of the church. The amount of work you accomplish for this church is amazing. I'd particularly like to thank those who work in the areas of my responsibility. Thanks to Mark Thornton and all those who work in organizing our worship services. Last year at this time, I talked about a new member accountability program. And under the direction of Tim Hatch and with the efforts of Carl Olson and our many group leaders, we're now able to do a much better job of meeting the needs of the members of our congregation. The last group I want to thank this morning are the people who you'll rarely see up here in this pulpit, or read about in the church bulletin. I think the term silent servant describes these people well. Thanks to those of you who, when you see someone who needs food, you feed them. Or you see someone who needs clothes, you clothe them. Thanks to those who see someone in desperate financial shape, and you help them. Thanks to those of you who, when life has knocked someone down, you help them up. Thanks to those who have been knocked down, but you got up anyway, and now serve as an example to the rest of us. Thank you to those who take care of those who can't take care of themselves. To those of you who serve as caregivers, God bless you for the work you do. Thank you to those of you who are willing to get out of your comfort zones and seek someone at church you don't know, or greet a visitor to our services, or go to the hospital or nursing home to visit the sick. Thanks to those who go to the funeral home to comfort those who have lost loved ones. Thanks to those who write cards of encouragement or make phone calls to those who need them. Thank you to those of you who give sacrificially to the Lord. In these tougher economic times, we've seen our requests for financial aid increase dramatically. One of the most difficult things to do as an elder is to turn down requests for legitimate needs, whether in the mission field or in the area of benevolence. We'll never be able to fill all the needs of the countless requests we receive each week, but your liberal giving helps us accomplish many good works. Thanks to those of you who leave this building and teach the truth of the Word of God to others in a spirit of love, with the goal of winning souls, not just winning arguments. Thanks to those of you who live your life in such a way, you are a sermon to those who would rather see a sermon than hear one. I could go on and thank many, many more people, but I'll stop here. Just want to say that my prayer, my goal for the 2013 is that we'll use our talents, whatever our talents are, for the glory and honor of God, that we'll spread the word of God not only through this community, but throughout the entire world. Thank you.
As a continuation, really, of the reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you all at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And in the second chapter, in verse 5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That describes the church of the living God. And that's what we are today. Sometimes when we see the frailties of our fellow human beings, fellow Christians, we don't always appreciate the fact that we are God's people. And though we are not perfect, we deserve to have the honor and esteem individually that Jesus gives us and God gives us through his word. In his famous poem, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow has a line that says, "Hardly a man is now alive that remembers that famous day and year." And truly, as I stand before you today, hardly a man is now alive that remembers the time that I first visited the Dalroyda Church of Christ in 1955, about this time of the year, as a matter of fact, a long time ago. Through a series of the vicissitudes of life and experiences of life, I came back to Dalroyda in 1968. I had worshipped here for a good while. In fact, my wife and I were the first couple to be married in the old building up here, Dean. It's now been destroyed. Just a dark memory in the annals of a time. So I've been around a long time, and I have served as an elder of this congregation since November of 1981. And so when I stand before you not long ago and I said I had been here for 44 years, that's right, but that's consecutive years. I was actually staked out at Little Grady Congregation for 7 years as their preacher down there, where Dean's brother is now the minister. I said all that basically to get to this. I love this congregation. I love the people, and I repeat, and really there's not much to be left to be said since these fine men. And what a tremendous blessing to me to be with such men as you see here. I can't convey to you what a great blessing and a privilege it is to serve with them, and I emphasize the serving. If you go on a sea cruise, you know there's a guy called a captain, and he's got on that really ritzy-looking outfit with a lot of straps on his sleeves and generally a real cocky cap, which I like. That's a great thing. And that captain gets all the veneration, and people really honor him. But he doesn't do anything. Guy does nothing. He's just a figurehead. They can run that boat really, really well without him. And I'll tell you that you wouldn't need the pilots or the elders at all unless you had somebody doing the work, somebody that takes care of swabbing the deck, somebody that's the engineer. And they think of all these things, and the captain just kind of walks around. Well, maybe the elders are not quite like that. But the point is, these are the people in the pews that make the church go. Our deacons, God bless them, I've never been around a greater group of folks in my life. And at this time, I especially want to thank those who are members of the missionary committee, or mission committee. I'll not talk about that a lot because the figures you've already heard. Last year, we took in $972,000 approximately dollars. Of that, we spent $292,000 total on missions, but from this congregation, $232,000. Some of that other $60,000 was from outside. So that's pretty close to a quarter of our income, which is good, but it could be much better. If we met our budget, we'd be able to do more things. There are many efforts you're aware of, the Binkleys and the McKees, the Simon Hueys, and of course the congregation at Gray, Georgia. These we are heavily invested in. But then we have works that we're continuing to support on a monthly basis, on a consistent basis. And, of course, we have people who are planning right now, and you've seen some of the, I won't call it an ad, just bulletins about those endeavors. And that's exciting to know that we have folks right here who are planning now to go to the mission field, and they're learning the language even as we speak. Well, not as we speak, but they got to Rosetta Stone. And I think that, and I reflect on this congregation today, for almost the past 12 years now, hard to believe that, Doug Smith's been here as our minister. And we've had just a great run of tranquility. And I don't mean that in the negative sense. I mean we've had a peaceful congregation. And it's so much easier when you have a preacher who has attitude of cooperation and service that Doug Smith has. So I want to acknowledge that, and I think you owe him acknowledgement. Doug does a great job, and we appreciate him and his family, Jody. And, you know, when they came here, this guy sitting over here was a little, he's about this high, had horn-rimmed glasses, and he was about this big. Look at him now. He's a Marine and going places there. So it's exciting to have shared this time and to realize that you don't have to worry about what's coming up from this pulpit here. And you don't have to worry about if someone is sick, and you know that Doug is going to be there seeing after him. It's not only his job, it's our job. But he certainly puts a lot into that. And, of course, I acknowledge also Will Tucker and his bride Colleen. You know, Colleen is a name that the Irish people have for, like the Scotch people call it, a lass. Well, in Ireland, it's Colleen. So we're happy for them, and he's doing a great job here. Very committed young man. And, of course, we got Billy Camp, an outstanding preacher today, going to be even better in the years to come. And I know he's been fraternizing with this pretty little lady here, Shelby Vega. And that's all I'm going to say about that, Billy. Of course, we have Terry Edwards on our staff now on the educational side of it, and his wife, Kim, their sons. We're so pleased. He's such a great resource. Sit and listen to this fellow, and I just hope he just keep on going, you know. And he has such a broad range of knowledge and experience. And then, of course, we have Michael Long, who's our intern. And along with Dean, I want to say to the teachers that are involved, that's a great ministry in its own right. And if we have, I can't remember and even enumerate all of these things that are happening. We so much appreciate Patsy Thebo and the work that she does. Freddie Johnston, who else? Sound booth operators, bus drivers, you name it. A lot of things going on here that some of us don't see all of the time. So these are just some random thoughts as we come to this point again in a new year. And I'm kind of like you, Doug. 2013 sounds, boy, really hard to pronounce. Time has gotten away from us. But you know, as we learn here, we are the living stones of God's church, and we need to conduct ourselves in that manner. And it means that we're going down the valley one by one in order to get where we really want to be. And since we're doing that, let me encourage you to leave money in your will, or give it today, to the Dalrata Mission Fund. Okay, we have one, the elders have total discretion over this, but it's a fund which we have set aside basically that we can allow it to grow and to use the interest off that. Actually, it was begun many years ago when Lon Connor's mother left a bequeathal to us. So we set it aside. And, you know, your children don't need your money. Okay, they're doing well, probably better than you were when you were their age by far. And your grandchildren are spoiled already. So leave money to the Dalrata Mission Fund. It'll do great works. And I assure you that as long as you have the eldership, and even when some of us are gone, you'll have elders that will oversee that very well. Today is a time, though, that we can appreciate the greatness of the church and also the opportunity we have of making our lives right if we need to. It's always in order for us to talk about such things because we know from the past year and those that have departed, some in an untimely manner, because as we mentioned this morning, it's not right for parents to bury their children, but we've seen that, haven't we? So we know that life is fleeting, it is uncertain, and we need to make preparation if we've not already. If you're here today, if you've not been baptized for remission of your sins, you're accountable before God, you need to do it this very hour. If you've wandered away from the right path of the Lord, if you've allowed things of the world to distract you and to make shipwreck of your faith, you have the opportunity today to make that right. Whatever your need, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, you may come now as we stand and sing this.